NationalGuard.com or talk to a recruiter in your area to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities available to you in the Army National Guard. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
One theft every 6.5 minutes. 156 thefts every day. Car thieves appreciate all the help they can get, so here's a shout out to the more than 57,000 drivers who admittedly made it easy for the thieves last year. 57,000 who left the keys in their vehicle and had it stolen. A 22% increase in just a year. Old habits die hard, and thieves can't help themselves, especially when it's so easy. So why is it so difficult for some people to turn off the car, take the key or the fob, and lock it up before they walk away? Turn off the ignition and lock your vehicle every time you get out. Don't leave keys or fobs inside. Put all valuables out of sight in the trunk or take them with you. Lock it before you leave it. Don't make it easy for the thief. If you know something about vehicle theft or insurance fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930 on the down low. Overnight, cloudy. Low near 5. Cloudy Wednesday. High of 23.
Partially sunny now. It's 12.
It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Fifteen minutes away from 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Having some fun here in the studio, talking about the weather, the news, and everything in between. We welcome in Lisa Roberson from the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Hey, Valentine's Day is right around the corner. As a matter of fact, it's less than a month away. Talk to Jim Vandermark and Company down at Vandermark Jewelers. They've got lots of gift ideas for you. They're located in Elyria on Broad Street near the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. Lisa, a pleasure as always to have you in studio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Let's try that one more time. Buttons were pressed and people did not hear you. So thanks again for joining us, Lisa. Sorry about that.
Hello, people. Can you hear me now?
We got you. Okay. Loud and clear this time. I think maybe they heard only a little bit of you through my microphone, which could be kind of tough to do. But regardless, another busy week for you. I know a lot of the news was dominated by the weather and the storm that rolled through here on Friday and the aftermath that came of it. But you were busy before the storm. And one of the things that you had mentioned late last week, well, it's interesting to find out what kinds of trips the kids go on these days. And I think your story focused on North Ridgeville. I believe it was an eighth grade group that was going to go to our nation's capital, but then they decided there were too many risks involved. And now they're taking an Ohio trip instead. Where exactly are they going?
Well, they're
going to
visit all of the sites in Ohio that people know and possibly love. The Ohio State House, the Ohio State University. They'll go to Mansfield Reformatory. They'll kind of just go the Columbus-Cincinnati route and stay stateside.
What kinds of concerns were there going to D.C. that ultimately made them make the call to say, you know what, instead of going to D.C., we're just going to stick in Ohio?
When they made this call not to go to D.C., this was maybe shortly after the massacres that happened in Texas and New York and in Las Vegas. And so they was looking for a way to keep kids safe. You know, there's a lot of walking when these school trips go to D.C. And there's, you know, they're concerned about, you know, what happens on sidewalks and outside of buildings and things of that nature. Not so much of what happens inside of a building, but what's going to happen outside the building when they're just kind of out and exposed.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, though, staying in Ohio. As you mentioned, there are a lot of interesting things about the state, a lot of cool things to see. Wait, did you get any ideas to what the kids kind of thought of this? Because I think as a kid, you always think about D.C. You see all the pictures. You hear all the stories about what a cool place it is, what an interesting experience it is. And especially, if, you know, for many kids in eighth grade, they might view that as their only chance to go to D.C. But, you know, I would imagine that for the kids, it's still kind of cool to go see these sites in Ohio.
Absolutely. The kids seemed to be a little excited from when I was talking to the superintendent. He said he spoke with a lot of the students, get their input on this trip. And you have to imagine, this is a trip where they're going to be without their parents. There's no parent supervisors, chaperones here. And, you know, they're going to be able to be with their friends and in hotels and riding buses. So it'd be a trip they remember.
Yeah, without question. I think having that kind of freedom in eighth grade, right? It's not a bad thing. I mean, this is also a couple of years removed from sixth grade. Do they still do sixth grade camp? Is that still something that's done?
I have no idea. We didn't do it in Indiana, I can tell you that. No,
did you guys do that, sixth grade camp?
I did not do that. I know that my son's school took the kids on a camping trip in
fifth
grade.
Okay.
They went to a camp out in Pennsylvania, so he enjoyed that.
Like hardcore camping or like in a log cabin type camping or what do you call those things? Cabins, right? Yeah.
So, I think there was more of a lodge style camping. You know,
it's
not October, so that's, you know, the weather's not going to have you outside. And it's all, you know, school-based. It's called Camp Fitch is what Windsor Elementary School did for fifth grade. So they do every year.
How long was he gone?
He was gone for about 3 days, I want to say.
Okay, so just
long. It was the first time he's actually been away from home that long. He's never been away from home that long.
Okay, so he was gone just long enough for him to get a taste of what it's like to be away from home for a short period of time. But
I followed up that that short trip with his own. Then I sent him to Camp Fitch myself in the summertime, and he was gone for a week.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay. All right. No, I know every district does this differently. Like my nephews just got done with the whole sixth grade camp thing, and it's they've changed it so much over the years. But I think, you know, it's cool for the kids to have that kind of freedom. It might be their first experience away from home for a short period of time. But and it was just interesting to see how they redirected from D.C. to Ohio. But, boy, there's a lot of things to do in Ohio, a lot of things to see in Ohio. You mentioned some of the sites that they'll get a chance to visit to. So I still think it's a beneficial trip at the end of the day. I want to go to the Lorain County Community College stories that you wrote also. There were a couple in there. There was one about their increase in tuition. But you mentioned in the story that President Bollinger even mentions, look, it's still one of the top five affordable colleges in the state of Ohio, too, as far as two-year institutions go. And there's obviously a lot that LCCC offers. We discussed that on the show frequently. But they also had something as well. They had a, what would you call it? It was a forum. It was a discussion last week also talking about, you know, affordable mobility, things like that. What all went down to this symposium?
Well, when you're talking about economic mobility, they want to talk about how if you can move from the lowest ranks of, you know, the economy up to the highest so that you're making a wage that's sufficient for your family. And, you know, and one of there's a lot of barriers that keep people who start out in that low range from moving up to the top range. You know, you have to make sure you get an education and a lot of other socioeconomic reasons why they don't move up. And so this was kind of a way of pulling all the community groups together so they can start this conversation of what are the barriers, what are the gaps, what can they do to kind of help those people move up? Because, you know, the more they move up, then they move the county up.
And I think there were some pretty interesting numbers you threw out there also. You know, for kids that were born in a family where I think they were considered poverty level, there's like a 5% chance, something like that.
Absolutely. They say there's a 5.1% chance of reaching an income of $70,000 by the time they're 35.
Wow. And the two cities I think you pointed out in there were Elyria and Lorain, right?
Yes.
And the poverty level was somewhere in the area of 20 to 25% for both cities?
Yes. And then, you know, you also have this correlation between, you know, their medium income and the number of advanced degrees the people in the communities have. And the lower the number of advanced degrees people had, the lower the income. But then you move to an Avon and Avon Lake, and you have a higher percentage of people who have these degrees. They had a higher income.
Wow. Interesting stuff. Well, and I know there was also something in there also from President Bollinger. She had mentioned that, you know, they understand what their role is in this and how they can help. What were some of the other members that were a part of this saying as well about what they can do to help?
I mean, they had a little bit of everyone at this meeting. They had people from the Chamber of Commerce and some of the social organizations, and they were just there to kind of figure out ways to which they can kind of pull together to address this issue of economic mobility.
And to go from that into a couple of elementary schools that actually are going to benefit from a grant. Now, there's a federal school improvement grant that's going to help out two elementary schools, Franklin and Windsor Elementary. How are they going to benefit from this grant, and what is this grant exactly?
This grant is typically tied to Title I funding. That's federal funding that's geared towards, you know, poverty communities. And so the U.S. Department of Education has awarded these grants $115,000 for Franklin and $79,000 for Windsor so that they can allow them to, you know, strengthen their volunteer networks and get parents into classrooms and kind of address those non-school issues that directly impact school.
So what kinds of things will they have the parents do? Because as far as I understand it, this is a way of trying to get kids more actively involved, get the parents more actively involved as well. What kinds of activities do they plan on getting from this grant to get the parents more actively involved?
Well, you know, they want to keep the parents in the classrooms. There's a lot of help the teachers need that they can do, reading the students, helping them with math programs, being there in the office to kind of do some of the work so that the teachers and the staff in the building can focus on the students. They also want to address attendance in the schools. Attendance is a big issue, especially at Franklin Elementary School, where there's about 30% of the student body who doesn't stay there throughout the entire school year. They're moving from school to school, and that, you know, sometimes they're late during the day. Just this transient population, this truancy is a real issue there, and so they're hoping they can address it.
There was something you mentioned in the story also that, you know, a lot of times, you know, the parents will drop the kid off at school, and they kind of feel like that's the end of it. You know, once they drop the kid off at school, the attendance shouldn't be an issue. But I know that was all part of also trying to get the parents back in the classroom more actively involved. You could kind of explain that, because I think that was a pretty cool part of the story also, where the parents just didn't totally understand that aspect of it. Attendance is more than just showing up when the bell rings.
Oh, absolutely. You know, actually showing up when the bell rings on time. There were so many times where they talked about how the kids will come an hour late and think they're fine, but then they would miss an English class or miss math class or social studies, and you miss those core subjects, and you fall farther and farther behind. And so they want to have the parents and the students there to kind of understand and work as a partnership, a collaboration to kind of keep the kids on track. And so, you know, you'll have them in there working with teachers on phonics and, you know, being monitors in the classrooms. You know, they also have volunteer programs where parents can earn gift cards to special, you know, neighborhood businesses if they volunteer a certain number of hours. You know, they have different after school programs, and so they're going to use this funding to kind of like really kind of wrap their arms around the district.
So that's neat too. So the grant money also goes toward some of the financial benefits of this thing too. So the grant money will also go towards maybe some, well, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the right word here, but like, you know, maybe there's some financial, not benefit, but there's
incentives.
That's what I was looking for. There's financial incentives for the parents to get involved here also. The
Absolutely.
Gift card thing's a cool idea, like that.
Yeah, so they're saying like for every 25 hours in volunteer time they accumulate, they can get a gift card. So, you know, if you just want to come, they just want the parents to come to the school.
Yeah, well, that makes more sense too. That's what this grant's all about, right? Getting the parents more actively involved, getting them to the classroom, and really, I think, just kind of getting more involved. And I think that's probably what they're looking for here. Well, I know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview here, a lot of what was reported at the end of last week, the news cycle dominated by the weather. Hopefully that's done for a while, at least let's hope. So what kinds of things are you working on for this week?
You know, I'm working on a couple, you know, crime stories that people can read about tomorrow. Unfortunate events of people preying on our children. And then I'm also going to be working on some, you know, fun stories about how students, there's a student film festival at Elyria High School tonight. That is going to be a lot of sixth grade students who make short films with the Center for Inspired Arts Learning. And so I'm hoping to really kind of and really enjoy this. About 20 or 25 different films that are going to be shown.
Cool stuff. All right. We look forward to reading that throughout the course of the next week. And let's hope that it's a little warmer than 10 degrees out the next time we have you in studio 1 week from today. Thanks,
as always,
for stopping in. Yeah. I mean, last week when you were in, I want to say we were just beginning to warm up a little bit. We were getting into the 30s, maybe the 40s. And, well, when you leave here today, it might be in single digits out there. So
I know. I'm ashamed to say that I have to drive over here because it's so cold.
Well, no one's going to bat an eye if you drive over here when it's this cold outside. You shouldn't be walking out in this stuff when it's this cold because it's dropping quickly. I think it got to about 15. It's going to get down to about 8 or 9 degrees. So it's brisk out there, so don't walk in this stuff unless you absolutely
have to. And I just want to wake up one day without snow on my car.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I'm just tired of the snow that keeps falling down. Seems every time I walk outside, there's more snow on the ground. I think, where'd that come from? Enough.
Yeah, enough is right. Lisa, thank you as always.
Thank you.
All righty. Again, that's our local beat with Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark is a trusted name in jewelry, and with Valentine's Day right around the corner, you should visit Jim Vandermark and Company. They're in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I will come back after this on AM 930 WEOL.
Athletes are always being put to the test. It's how they know they're strong and tough enough, or if there's room to get better. Well, the same goes for car batteries. That's why AutoZone offers free battery testing. If your car is having trouble starting, just stop in. Get your battery tested on the spot for free. Whether it's just a loose cable or time for a new battery, you won't have to buy a part you don't need. Stop in today and put your battery to the test. Get in the zone. AutoZone.